What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come?
Why?
What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
What is baptism? This week I've had a number of chats about baptism, and I've had some questions with them. Some churches baptise babies and others don't. Why? Some churches talk about water baptism and others spirit baptism. How come? I've heard of baptism and christening. Are they the same or different? How many baptisms are there? Or should there be? Hello, my name is George Samiatz and I'm pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church, Brandon, Suffolk. And I'm also the vacancy pastor for the Lutheran congregations in Coventry, that's Good Shepherd, and in East Kilbride, Scotland, that's St. Columba. Today we look at baptism and ask, what's it all about? It is a rather large topic, as it is one of the main disagreements within Christianity. If I don't answer your question about baptism, or you want to ask more questions, please feel free to do so and email me at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. That's info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Let's start with the two items that Christians do agree on in relation to baptism. A baptism has to have water, and it needs the name of God. So you have a water wetting a person, while the person conducting the baptism, usually the minister, says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." There's agreement that this is an establishment of a covenant or a relationship between God and the person baptized. There's agreement that this is something Jesus wants done. He's commanded it. But after this, the agreements are getting thin. Christian denominations don't agree on the amount of water to be used, the age of the person baptized, and what actually happens to the person baptized. There are discussions and debates on where faith fits in. Is it a gift or a prerequisite? Where does salvation fit into baptism equation? And there are the practical issues relating to baptism. Godparents, candles, churches, baptismal robes, baptismal names, etc. Are any of these essential to baptism? It is a big topic. In summary, there are basically two different views of baptism, with variations within them, concerning the issue, who is active in baptism? Lutherans, Roman Catholics, the Orthodox, Anglicans, and others answer the question by saying God. God gives gifts in baptism, forgiveness, eternal life, saving faith. God gives new life in baptism. God adopts people as his children in baptism. Therefore, if God is giving gifts, then he can give them to whomever he wishes. These churches therefore baptize people of any age, and the amount of water is not critical. You can find a few drops to submersion. But whatever method is used, you will find a resistance to the view that baptism must be submersion. Since baptism is essentially God giving gifts, then he can give gifts to anyone at any age. If they are old enough to say thank you, then they can say thank you and live in their new identity using the gifts. If they're not old enough, then they grow up learning that they've been given such gifts, and learn who they are because of these gifts, children of God, and learn to be thankful for what God has done in baptism. If you know Star Trek, stay tuned. If you don't, then you might want to find out about a thing called a transporter beam. So a picture of baptism is that at Jesus' death on the cross, when he declared, "It is finished," he won salvation for us, for everyone. And now imagine a gift, all wrapped with a bow, and label with your name appearing at the foot of the cross. There are billions and billions of them for everyone. God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that truth is Jesus, who he is and what he has done for us. We live nearly 2,000 years later, and the UK is not Jerusalem, and baptism is God's way of giving your salvation to you, beaming it to you, as it were, linking you to the death and resurrection of Jesus. God is doing all the work in baptism. No matter whether the person baptized is an adult or a teenager or a toddler or an infant, the younger the person, the more clear it is to see that this baptism is all God's doing. Baptists and Pentecostals, and quite possibly many independent churches, however, place the baptismal emphasis on the person being baptized. Rejecting what seems to them to be magic, the other view of baptism emphasizes that it is the person being baptized who does the work in baptism. This baptism is described as a believer's baptism because the one being baptized has to be a believer, and therefore baptism is a sign of obedience. Baptism is an acknowledgement of what God has done in Christ for that person, which is most clearly seen in the declaration of faith expressed, and the baptism is a sign that this isn't all just talk. It's like joining a group, making a commitment to follow Jesus as Lord. Thus it follows then that only people of reason, that is, people who are old enough to know their faith and are able to make this commitment, can be baptized. In practice, this produces a range of ages, usually from teenage years onwards, but most definitely not infants and small children are to be baptized, according to this believer's view. Proponents of this understanding of baptism also have an issue regarding the mode of baptism and argue that baptism must be by submersion. The argument is that the word in Greek means to dip, and so this is a requirement for a valid baptism. An alternative view is that while the word does mean to dip, its use in the New Testament is broader and means more to wash. The consequence of these two views is largely disagreement. It has not been a good witness in the history of Christianity. There is agreement that there should be only one baptism, though the Pentecostal churches are known to separate water baptism with the coming of the Holy Spirit to a person in a baptism marked no longer by water, but by an ecstatic experience, usually speaking in tongues. But these differing views simply create a messy situation for people to try and understand and decide what actually to do. Lutherans would recognize a believer's baptism because the Word of God has been used and water has been applied in the triune name of God. Believer's baptism churches usually do not recognize a Lutheran baptism when A. the person baptized was regarded as too young to make a decision to follow Jesus, and or B. when the amount of water used is too little, as Lutherans rarely baptize by any other method than pouring. So you then find believers' baptism churches telling people who have been baptized as infants or by the pouring of water that they have not been baptized and therefore they should be baptized as a believer by submersion. Just an additional comment here. Lutherans only recognize the first baptism of a person, and if someone comes to them, they will assess where, in which church community, the baptism or christening, same thing, took place. And if it is a Christian baptism according to the rites of the church for 2,000 years, then we recognize that baptism as valid. So if a Roman Catholic person who had been baptized as an infant, or a Baptist person who had been baptized as an adult, wanted to be a Lutheran, then we would recognize their baptism and not baptize them. Where Lutherans discover that a person has been baptized or christened more than once, then we will seek to help that person understand that God acted in their first baptism, and the subsequent ones, whether in ignorance or confusion or a zealous desire to make faith real in some way, were an unconscious or conscious rejecting of God's gifts and need to be seen in that light. To be baptized a second or third time is saying that God didn't do a proper job the first time. Hence, one baptism, only, ever. Now to some specifics, and since the most obvious issue between the churches on baptism seems to me to be the age of the person baptized, I will go through some Bible passages and make some comments in answer to the question, how old should a person be to be baptized? The Lutheran Church says, any age, and the earlier the better. As we look through the Bible, we find no direct scriptural command from Jesus to baptize infants. Thou shalt baptize infants is not found in Scripture. And hence both sides in this debate use various biblical texts to argue their point of view. It is up to those who regard baptism as God's gift for any aged person to show how the Bible reveals that truth. It is up to the believer's baptism side to prove categorically that Jesus didn't intend infants to be baptized. This is an important point to maintain because there is no scriptural passage that prohibits infant baptism, and the evidence from the early church at no point shows that infants were not baptized. The early church evidence shows that infants, teenagers, and adults were baptized, but the historical evidence, while supportive, is not the final determinant. The final determinant always remains, what has the Lord told us to do? What does God's word say? In the last verses of Matthew 28 we read, And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Note how you make disciples. Baptize and teach. Interesting sequence. And who are all the nations in this disciple-making? That's the question. We hold all nations at any moment to include all ages, and it would be incumbent on those with a different view to prove that infants are not included or only included when they are old enough to understand. Move to the last part of Peter's Pentecost sermon. We're in Acts chapter 2, and yes, Peter is addressing adults. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Again, it seems clear to me that what adults appear to do, repent, is actually God's action, for he is calling them to himself. He is bringing them to repentance. He is giving them forgiveness. He is giving them the Holy Spirit. And this is for them and for their children. God can do this work upon any aged person. And we see this in practice in Philippi when the jailer is brought to faith through Paul and Silas. This is in Acts 16. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced, along with his entire household, that he had believed in God. Now, to be sure, infants are not mentioned here. But neither are they specifically excluded. And the sense of the text is that everyone in the household was baptized. I'll make this my last one for now, Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. In Christ also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. This is a very interesting passage because it links the Old Testament world and the New Testament reality. Baby boys in the Old Testament were circumcised on the eighth day as a sign that they are members of God's kingdom, one of God's people. Baptism is the New Testament action commanded by Jesus that makes people his disciples, makes people part of his kingdom, and Colossians makes this link with the Old Testament, and Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So the logic follows then that babies can be baptized, and in fact, if Jesus didn't want babies baptized, then he would have needed to clearly say so, because the disciples would have assumed that babies are part of the covenant. When you start talking these passages, what will emerge is that Christians understand faith and belief differently. Believers' baptism people see faith as largely an activity of a person's consciousness, that is, they've decided, or they believe, or they trust on the basis of evidence, or scripture, or experience, or whatever, and hence a person must be old enough, that is, rational enough, to make a responsible decision or choice. To Lutheran ears, this is too close to salvation by our work of choosing to believe in Jesus. Jesus has saved us, but we have to take hold of that salvation to make it ours, is a view which robs anyone of the certainty of salvation or places it in the wrong place, in us. And Lutherans just don't want to go there. For Lutherans, faith is best understood as relational, a relationship which receives God's word and trusts and lives in it. Faith is a gift, just as salvation is a gift. One of the best descriptions of faith is new life, that is, the relationship the child of God has with God. This new life is a gift to us, and hence we must be born again. And just as we had no say in our physical birth, so strictly we have no say in our spiritual birth. What happens is that God works on us, and we come to realize what He has done, and then we live in that relationship. This makes salvation God's work. Jesus died for us, and the Holy Spirit brings salvation to us. In 1 Peter 3, baptism now saves you. And consequently, the source for and anchor of our faith, our trust, our belief is found outside of us, in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus has saved us, and the Holy Spirit has placed this salvation into our hands and hearts. And yes, we can decide to rebel, fight, sadly even reject Jesus, but the fact that He is there is a gift to us. God is responsible for our salvation. If we're lost, it's our own fault. Just as we're given the gift of life physically, and sadly we can end it if we so choose, so those who have received Jesus' gifts may reject them, but they can never say that the gifts are not theirs. Christians can be sure of their salvation and confident in their faith because God saves us no matter our age through Jesus' life and death, and this salvation is given to everyone who is baptized. We don't rely on our baptism. Baptism isn't magic as such and thus ignore Jesus. Rather, the Holy Spirit uses baptism as the connection that Jesus makes with us personally, links us to His death and His resurrection, and assures us that Jesus actually died and rose again for us, truly. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.